And so we invite you and are excited about what's going to be happening there. So, pardon me, how many weeks is it? 12 to 15 weeks. And we'll be talking about it more, too, as time comes on. We can talk about it in home group, too. Awesome. Okay. Well, again, we welcome you here this morning. Did someone turn the lights on? I usually like it dark, but since they were light before, it was light before. Now it feels dark in here. So how many feel God's presence in this place? I have felt him since I got in here and just started singing and started worshiping, and he is here. He is doing something. He's knocking. He's knocking on the door. Do we hear him? And so this morning, we've been talking a lot about transformation, about changing, right? Even just what we were listening to, we were talking about transformation, about how to think differently, about how to perceive differently, about how to have relations differently, relationships differently. And so transformation, it's here. And so this morning, I want to talk about thinking right. I want to talk about we can change. I want to talk about we can love, we can trust, and I want to talk about discouragement this morning. It's something we all can relate to, I know. In Revelation 3:20, the scripture says this. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears and listens to my voice and opens the door, I will come to them." Okay, do you hear his knocking today? And I think it's just the power of God. You know, I think that's what's happening in the world today is this the spirit of this world is trying to suck the power out of our God. Well, he can't. I mean, they can't. It will never happen. But in our minds, there's no power anymore. In our minds, I can't change. I can't. Do you ever feel that way? And so this morning, I want you to think about the power of Jesus Christ in your life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So someone is knocking. He is knocking. If anyone hears, if you hear him and you listen to his voice and you open the door, he will be right there. And you know, I just think about your everyday life. At work or wherever you're at, if you listen for long enough, you'll find out and you'll hear that there are more people that are discouraged than are encouraged. Do you agree with me? Hopefully that's not the case for you, but for me, that's, you know, I mean, I think it is. You're in the grocery store and you're hearing more people that are discouraged than encouraged. It's a problem. And you know, I read a lot about statistics and children, and I was reading one statistics, and it says in the educational system that the children that really need the encouragement the most, they don't get it. Because it's hard to encourage someone who's not easy to encourage, right? So they're not getting it, and so they start out their lives very young, discouraged. I heard this quote, and I'm going to read it. It says, "You do not determine a man's greatness by his talent or his wealth or even his education. You determine a man's greatness by what it takes to discourage him." And so I want you to think about this morning, what is discouraging you right now? Is there anything discouraging you? Because did you know that discouragement is one of Satan's most strategic weapons? And he will use it to destroy you. And he will use discouragement to get you out of the will of God. I don't want to play around with this. He will use discouragement to get you to act wrong, to speak wrong. And we'll talk more about what wrong is. All right, are you discouraged this morning? Do you know why? What causes you to be discouraged? All right, so let's talk about reasons why people get discouraged, okay? I've heard, maybe you can think of your own, I've heard people talk about their jobs and how they're discouraged about their jobs. that boss, he doesn't even recognize what I'm doing. Or my coworkers are just making my days horrible. The discouragement in your job. How about your marriages? At times, you can feel discouraged in your marriage. How about your health? For those of you who have battled it with health, you doctor after doctor after doctor, and you're kind of going, all right, discouraging. How about when, I think just sometimes you get into discouragement of just nobody's really recognizing me. I'm just kind of all alone over here. Nobody loves me. I'm unimportant. I don't have any support. Ever felt like that? And then there's others that don't even feel like their life counts. A spirit of discouragement. And I'm here today to tell you not to mess with discouragement. And I'm speaking it because I know everyone has dealt with this. It's a people problem. It's a people issue, and I don't want to think the same way about discouragement that I have in the past. I want my mind transformed. I want to change. I want it to be shifted. Discouragement is contagious. It's destructive. It's unpredictable. It can just happen all of a sudden. You're like, what just happened? I'm discouraged. And to stay there is not God. To stay there is not God. And so I want you to touch your skin today, wherever you want. Your arm, your face. What do you feel? You feel flesh? All right, you have flesh on your body? If you have flesh on your body, you will experience discouragement, okay? And so we know that disappointment is inevitable. It's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. But discouragement, it becomes a choice. So I want you to, if you can remember anything today, disappointment's going to happen. It's inevitable. But discouragement is a choice. I want you to go in your Bibles to Isaiah 42. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 7. And it says this, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delights." This is God speaking, and he's speaking about Jesus. I'm going to start again. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice and right and reveal truth to the nations. He will not cry or shout out loud or cause his voice to be heard in the street." Verse 3, "A bruised reed he will not break, and dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will bring forth justice in truth. He will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till he has established justice in this earth. And the islands and the coastal regions shall wait hopefully for him and expect his direction and law. Thus says the Lord the God, he who created the heavens and stretched them forth, he who spread abroad the earth and that which comes out of it, he who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk in it." And so that is, it's talking about Jesus. Verse 4, "Jesus will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till he has established justice in the earth." And as you grow and you learn about what Jesus did on the earth, you realize that there, Jesus became a man and he came on this earth. And he had just as many opportunities to be discouraged as we do. Just as many. But he said this. He said, "I'm going to set my face on the Father and do what he asked me to do. I refuse to fail and I refuse to stop, even when he's sweating blood." Amen. I don't know how that looks or feels to sweat blood. If Jesus does it, I can do it, because he came as an example to us, and in Jesus is the power. He did it. I have the power. Yeah. If you have accepted Christ in your life, you have his power. When you said, "I want you in my life," you got everything. You got everything. It's not something you need to work for. It's not something you need to study more. You have it. It's there. It's there. So if Jesus did it, I can do it. So do you, I just hear Jesus saying, do you believe in my power in the cross this morning? Or has it lost its power in your life? Do you believe in the power? That same power lives in you. And God is speaking these very words I just read over you. He spoke them over Jesus, but he's speaking them over you. Verse 4, he will not fail. You will not fail or become weak or be crushed and discouraged till you have established justice in the earth. And the islands and coastal regions shall wait hopefully for you and expect your direction. This is our mantle that God has placed on us. We get to follow in Jesus. We say we're followers of Christ. This is what we get to do. Amen? Again, disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. And we must resist discouragement. Resist it. Jesus could have been discouraged. And let's just talk about that for a few minutes. One day he was preaching to a crowd and everyone left but 12. That might make me discouraged if y'all left but 12, right? Another reason he could have been discouraged, he had religious experts watching him like a hawk. Oh, did you see what Jesus did? He healed on the Sabbath. And they even called him, they even said that he was a man with a demon. Yeah. Talk about being attacked. Or then, how about this? One of his closest friends, who he trusted and spent hours and hours with, just turned his back on him for 30 coins. Or that another one of his closest friends denied that he even knew him. Jesus had many opportunities to give up, but he did not get discouraged. The word in Isaiah says, for he will not be discouraged. And God is speaking that over you today. He's speaking that over us. Are you receiving that this morning? Do not be discouraged. I know many of you may be discouraged about a lot of things. You know, I mean, finances has a way of discouraging us at times. People have a way of discouraging us. At times, children have a way of discouraging us. Husbands have a way of discouraging wives. Wives have a way of discouraging husbands. Your physical or your mental health may have a way of discouraging you. Relationships can discourage us. And the list goes on and on and on. Circumstances can discourage us. But today I want to release hope into your situation. And that hope is in Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. And the power that Jesus walked in on this earth, we can walk in. We can walk in. As children of God, we're able to walk in the power of Christ to overcome all discouragement. With salvation comes access to Jesus. So let's talk about a few people in the Bible who were discouraged. Number one, Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul, he wrote half of the New Testament. Okay, so this was no, like, weak guy here. He was writing. Paul the Apostle got discouraged. Did you know that? What? This guy wrote half the New Testament. Okay, so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 and 6. I don't hear very many pages turning. Is it just mine? All right, 2 Corinthians 7. You guys use your phones now, right? Is that what you tell everyone, right, David? All right, chapter 7, verse 5. And this is, all right, so chapter 7, verse 5. For even when we arrived, so this is Paul talking. For even when we arrived in Macedonia, our bodies had no ease or rest, but we were oppressed in every way. We were afflicted at every turn. We were fighting. There were fighting and contentions without. There were dreads and fears within us. But God, who comforts and encourages and refreshes and cheers the depressed, and the sinking comforted and the encouraged and refreshed and cheered, us by the arrival of Titus. So Paul is saying, oh my gosh, I was so discouraged. There were so many things going on. But look in verse 6. Right in verse 5, is he's saying, oh my goodness, we were afflicted on every turn. We were fighting within. We were fighting without. There was so many things going on. And then in verse 6, what does it say? Nevertheless, in your Bible, it says nevertheless. In my Bible, it says, but God. But God. There's the game changer right there. I had to use it. Okay, but God. Nevertheless. God. God has not lost his power. God has not lost his power. Titus came that day and he encouraged Paul. And Titus, there's a book in the Bible called Titus, but Titus, you know, if you think about the Apostle Paul, Titus was kind of like baby Titus, little Titus. But he came and what did he do? He encouraged Paul. You may be fighting on the outside today. You may be fighting on the inside, but God. But God. And today I want to be that little Titus. And I want to encourage you and remind you that Jesus will and can see you through. In 2 Numbers 21:4, it says this, and you don't have to turn it. It says, and they journeyed, and the people became impatient, depressed, discouraged because of the trials in the way. Nobody is beyond encouragement. And if you think about Numbers, that was in the Old Testament, and they were wandering in the desert. In verse 5, but this is the scary part about Numbers, okay? So let's just think about what happened here. The children of Israel, they had just been delivered. They had just been delivered from captivity. They're walking in the wilderness now. To their promised land, they're walking. God completely, he had opened the Red Sea for them. They saw miracles. And if you read on in Numbers 21, it says in Numbers 21 verse 5, it says this, and they were discouraged. So they were journeying and they were discouraged. And then it says this, and then the people spoke. Oh my gosh, no, they did not speak. The people who were greatly discouraged started speaking. And one of the things that you don't want to do when you're discouraged is start speaking. It's true. Remember what I said about discouragement being, it's contagious. Because when I'm discouraged, I start speaking my mind. I start speaking my emotions. I start speaking my opinions because I've convinced myself that I'm right. I'm right. I've completely validated everything I'm saying, and I'm right. And I have a reason to be discouraged. And the people were discouraged, and then they spoke. And the next thing they said, it says in verse 5, it says, they spoke against God, and they spoke against Moses. And that's what happens. And I've seen so many people even today shake their hand at God. And that's what the Israelites were doing. They were shaking their hand at God and they were saying, why God, why? Why? Why do I have to put up with this? We start speaking against God, and then we start speaking against the pastor. And then if we keep on speaking, we start speaking against our husband. And then we start speaking against our wife. And then we start speaking against our children and our friends because we're discouraged. And we speak against our boss. So when you are discouraged, keep your mouth shut. Unless you are going to be quoting the Word of God. Unless you are going to be saying things like 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though my outward man is perishing, my inward man is being renewed day by day. Unless we're saying things like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Unless we're speaking 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Unless we're speaking things like Deuteronomy Deuteronomy 31:6. Do not be afraid and terrified, for the Lord your God goes with me, and he will never, ever forsake me. And this is what we need to be speaking. Everything else is not where we're supposed to be. If you think about John the Baptist was Jesus' family in the Bible. He was Jesus' cousin. And he, in Matthew 11, I'm not going to read it, but in Matthew 11, John the Baptist was in jail. And I want you to remember who John the Baptist is. If you don't know who John the Baptist is, this is what he did. He baptized Jesus. He witnessed with his own eyes the Holy Spirit and the dove descend on Jesus. He saw it with his own eyes. He heard with his own ears, the voice from the heaven that said this, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But John in Matthew 11 is in jail now, this great man. And he calls his disciples and he says, "Come here, I want you to go to Jesus and I want you to ask him if he's really the one that was supposed to come. Just go ask him." What? This is John. This is John the Baptist. He saw with his own eyes. He heard with his own ears. But what happened to John? He's in jail and he got discouraged. This is, we're so not above this. And with discouragement, doubt will come. And all kinds of questions will come. And I want to talk about one more person as we're closing here, and that's the man David in the Bible. In Psalms 43:5, David's talking and he's saying, "God, why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in you, God. I will praise you again, my Savior and my God." Here David is, very discouraged. And if you read about what's going on in David's life, there had been a huge battle. And David had been running with his mighty men and fighting Saul. And he was at this city called Ziklag. And all the women and all the children had been taken by the enemies. All the wives and the children of his men had been taken. And they were gone. The city had been destroyed. And his men, they started, his loyal, faithful men, they started to speak against him. In fact, they wanted to stone him. And here is this great man who killed Goliath. Remember, David killed Goliath. And he's discouraged. And it says in 1 Samuel 36, it says this, David was discouraged, but he looked around and he said, "Is there anyone who's going to encourage me? No, they're going to throw stones at me. I can't even look at him. His wife and children are gone." There was no one to encourage him. In fact, they hated him right then. And it says in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, and it says, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord." And sometimes you're not going to have someone to encourage you. Sometimes you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to say, "You know what? My God, I need encouragement," and start speaking the word of God, because we can't depend on people around us all the time, can we? God said it to Joshua in 1 Joshua 1:6, "Be strong and be of good courage." And there's three voices that we can listen to. Number one is Satan's voice. And if you know about Satan, he's full of lies. His whole being is lies. He will never, ever tell you the truth. Ever. And so if you're listening to that voice, you know, remember, there's no truth in him. There is no truth in him. And then there's the voices of other people in our lives. And at times, we can be encouraged by people, right? The power of the tongue is so important. But at other times, people can be like those bad spies, or the spies that came back to the children of Israel and said, "No, there's giants there. There's no way that you can make it, because there's way too many big things going on. There's no way we can make it. There's no way. We have to go another way. We have to give up." The voices of other people, at times we hear it. And then there's your own voice. And if you begin to repeat what others say, or if you begin to believe what Satan says, it's going to get in your mouth, and it's going to get in your body, and it's going to get in your soul. And just the spirit of discouragement will completely cover you. That's why in Joshua 1:8, he said this: keep this book right here of the law. Keep it always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Speak on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And the consequences of discouragement are very dire. They're very big. Discouragement can completely divide your mind. You can't focus on the things you're supposed to focus on because you're discouraged. You can't give your best. You can't even concentrate on what God is doing or even see what God is doing. You start blaming others. You become angry or depressed. And you become estranged from the people in your life and from God. You lose your confidence. When I'm discouraged, I'm not confident. And that affects every single part of you and your life. We develop a negative spirit. Proverbs 15:4 says this: the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit of God. Another consequence of discouragement is you know you're right, but you have no joy or no peace. But I'm right. And then you start making unwise decisions, and sometimes very costly decisions. And you can begin drifting away from the Lord. And then when we drift, we might find ourselves in waters that we don't really want to be in, that we can't row ourselves out because there are weaknesses. The consequences are not worth it. They're not worth it. And so I just want to remind you, Revelations 3:20, he's knocking. He's knocking, and he's saying, I'm constantly knocking. And if we let him in, we will be transformed. So how do you get out of discouragement? You have to be able to think right. I have to be able to think right. And sometimes our thinking is not healthy. I've so been there. I'm so there at times right now. God, help my thinking. The number one thing you have to do is to get your mind right, is to look within yourself and say, what's going on? Why am I discouraged? What's happening? What happened? The next thing you do have to do is you have to look up. And you have to say, Father, this is what is happening with me. And I need your guidance. I need your guidance. And then we have to look back. And we look back to see our history of what God has done already. We don't look back on our mistakes. We look at what God has done. Because you know what? If God can bring me out of that, for sure he can do this. He's brought me this far. He can bring me this leg of the journey. He's a good, good God, and he's waiting for us to ask. He's just saying, what can I do? I want to deliver you. Just, you got to access the power that you already have. And number four, you have to look forward. God never changes. And what are you going to do in the future? What are you going to do for me? And I want you to remember this HALT, H-A-L-T. Don't let yourself get too hungry. I'm talking about in the spirit. You can physically too, but don't let yourself get too hungry. A, don't let yourself get too angry. L, don't let yourself get too lonely. And T, don't let yourself get too tired, because then we're weak and discouragement will be there. So this morning, as we're done, I want you to just close your eyes this morning. Some of you are covered with discouragement this morning. And I want you to begin to access the power of Jesus in your life. And it's as simple as saying, I want you, God. I answer the knock. I speak life over my life. It's time to banish the darkness of your life right now. God, this morning I pray that we could speak words of life over ourselves. God, that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. God, you're with me. You love me. You're a good God. You made me. You're faithful. You healed me. You saved me. You brought me this far. God, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, God. I'm accessing the power of the Holy Spirit right now. I need you. I need you, God. Just tell him this morning, God, I need you. I need you, God. I need you. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the life of Jesus. And we access everything, every bit of that power this morning, God. Let us not ever forget it. Yes, God, we thank you so much for salvation. For what, when we said yes and we opened the door, that we get everything. We get deliverance. We get you, God. We get peace. We get joy. We get stability. God, I thank you for what you're doing with every single person here, God. I pray that encouragement will come. God, that we would be encouraged. And Lord, that we would have a transformed mind, that we would think differently, that we would do things differently. God, change. Change right now, God. We believe that in an instant you've already did something today in grace. Your grace was here from the beginning, God. We pray that you would change our minds, change our thinking. The power of a transformed mind, God, that's what we want. And we thank you for what you are doing. And we acknowledge you in everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. God, this is a journey. Remember, we're all on a journey. And so go forth this week and encourage each other and be encouraged and encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. God bless you. This morning, we'll be here praying for anyone who wants prayer.